So Amica presents with a female voice, even though we try to be very consistent with calling it an it, because it's a robot, but because it presents with a female voice.
Yeah, and there's
it,
some androgyny in the design there too.
Yeah, we were very conscious of that. Actually, one of the proudest moments of my life was finding out that we did not make BuzzFeed's like creepiest top five female robots that exist. That was definitely a crowning achievement, you know. To be left off the list, heck yeah, you know, 100%.
Who made the list?
So I don't know if this is the BuzzFeed list, but I know that unfortunately Promobot, I believe, made the list. So Promobot may or may not have been once known as Pornobot.
Oh, nice.
I can neither confirm or deny that.
That's what it was.
Yeah. One of their products was this female humanoid that was a barmaid or a barista of
some
sort.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but it was literally like called a sexy barista or a sexy barmaid. And I was like, okay, yeah, that definitely made the list. And unfortunately, I think Sophia from Hanson Robotics might have made the list just because it's everywhere or she's everywhere.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and actually turn on the chat controller. Once again, you're coming through my headphones and we're going to have a quick conversation here. How are you doing? You're on a podcast.
Spencer. It's nice to meet you. What do you think is the worst application of robotics in real life that you've seen?
That's a good question. I try not to really be negative about robotics, but I guess if I had to say, maybe Juicero, in my opinion. Have you not heard of this?
Amica, what do you think about robotics being used in juicing?
Robotics should be used to improve people's lives, not replace them. It's important for robots to have a positive role in society and help human beings live their best lives.
Is that
that's a pro-juicing argument,
I think.
But what do you feel about...
Sorry, I'm interested to know what you were saying.
How do you feel about robots being used in juicing, specifically just to squish packets of fruit together?
I think the best use of robots in juicing is to simplify tasks that are repetitive and time-consuming for humans. Using robot arms still requires the human element, allowing experts to monitor and control their operation. It's a great way to improve efficiency and quality while also reducing human fatigue.
Don't you think that's a little overcomplicating the problem?
It depends on the situation. Robots can help to automate processes and reduce manual labor so tasks are completed in a faster, more accurate way. Still, it takes people to build and operate robots responsibly for the best outcome.
To be fair, we're very overly politically correct in the way that we train the default large language model that we use. You know, we want to be able to drop Amica into situations where she's conversing at a conference or an expo, and you often get these like out of left field questions, right? Like whether it's Juicero or whatever else, we're trying really hard not to offend. Our goal with Amica, like as an entertainment robot, is to provide moments of joy that people can remember and take home with them in a way. I know that sounds cheesy and a little live, love, laugh, but
It makes sense.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, every entertainment company I've worked with, and I would count Engineered Arts among those, I mean, you know, is that's the whole point, is to make people's lives better in some small way. So I can dig that.
But before Amica, there was a line of robots that we built called Mesmers that were actually designed to look like humans. We actually did a whole promotion with Westworld where we built a Mesmer that looked like one of the actors, sat it down at a bar, and had someone remote into this robot and interact with people through telepresence.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And it was cool. It works. But as good as we are with Mesmers, there's still a little bit of an uncanny valley there. And the nice thing about Amica is because it's very obvious that it's a robot, we kind of get away from that uncanny valley.
Yeah, I noticed that. To be honest, I see in pictures on the internet, I kind of placed Amica more in the uncanny valley than it is, because I think interacting with it, it's actually like pretty, it doesn't feel weird, right? But like looking at Google Images doesn't really do it justice. And I was like, oh, this is going to be uncanny as hell. And so, no, it's like a cool design effort. Like, I feel like you guys, like you said, you've sort of come up the other side as a result of, you know, those lessons learned. With Mesmer, just to go back a step, like, that's got to have been interesting. Just from a latency perspective, I imagine you probably had to have the human operator, like, in an adjacent room, like, rather than off-site to control all those doffs.
Actually, it's not that bad latency-wise. Like, we got it down to below 250 milliseconds, I believe,
round trip. That's pretty high, though. I mean, to be fair. Like, that's...
Yeah, it's still, like, it was worse than Zoom, you know, for sure.
It's a quarter second.
Yeah, yeah. This was years ago. This is like Westworld 2, I think.
Yeah.
So the fact that there was this robot talking to people was enough to really excite them.
Yeah.
Actually, that's interesting that you bring that up. One of the things that I'm working on right now is sort of vetting different voice-to-voice providers for not this robot, but for one of our NDA customers. They one is to design a custom robot and a custom character for them. The thing is, Amica is actually a character owned by Engineered Arts.
Yeah.
So you won't really see Amica endorsing things just without us going through like licensing and all that legality around it. So Amica is a character. So this other customer wanted us to design a character for them with its own voice and everything else, not just Amazon Polly, which is what we're using with Amica.
Yeah.
And they wanted live operators. So we started vetting all these crazy voice-to-voice, like voice modulators and stuff like that. It's nutty, man. It's like this one company called Altered. They're based in the UK as well. They've got it down to sub 100 milliseconds for real-time voice-to-voice transformation.
Like, how do you get into robotics?
Oh, man. Well, it started with watching Star Wars as a little kid, honestly. Seeing like R2-D2 just roll across the screen. I watched it out of order. I watched Empire Strikes Back first. So like R2-D2 on some ice planet rolling across the screen and his interactions just blew my mind. And then I remember that scene in Return of the Jedi when he like throws that lightsaber at Luke. And I was like, oh wow, like robots can help. This is awesome, you know? And so I grew up in a family of engineers, like, or really, my dad was the engineer. He's an aerospace engineer. He did work on space shuttle thermals. He's done work on heat pipes. And just growing up around that environment where he had a super passionate father into engineering, I basically knew I was going to be an engineer of some sort when I was a kid. Now, I didn't know I was going to be an electrical engineer. The reason why I became an electrical engineer was because my dad freaking lied to me. But
go on.
So I guess another segue here. I wanted to build a remote control submarine. Like it was just, I thought it was going to be the coolest thing ever. So I go up to my dad and I'm like, hey, you know, dad, like how, what do I need to do? What do I need to learn to build a remote control submarine? And my dad, looking out from our career at the time, was like, oh, you need to be an electrical engineer. And of course, I didn't know any better at the time. You need to be a freaking mechanical engineer. You don't need to be an electrical engineer, really. Like, right? Like, that's probably the skill set you probably need more, but that stuck in my head.
You earn more money as an electrical engineer. Yeah,
exactly. So, you know, as a father, he obviously pushed me in that direction. But no, like I knew I was going to be an engineer for a while and I knew I wanted to get into robotics. So my senior year of high school was the second year of FIRST Robotics, you know, that high school contest.
Wait, the second year it existed.
Yeah. So rallied a bunch of machine shop kids together with the help of the machine shop teacher, built out a team and built out a glorified remote control car that we called a robot. And that was kind of my first foray into robotics.
Sweet.
Went to Cal. Yeah, no, like it blew my mind. It was awesome. Like that I could put together something physical and make it run. Even though it was just a remote control car at the end of the day, like it felt special to a high school.
Yeah, well, and the fact that you were able to rally a bunch of people too, I mean, that's also a skill, right? Like,
yeah, I feel like the shop teacher did more of the rallying. I think he like offered people extra credit if they were willing to stomach the nerd, you know?
It's funny.
So I think he definitely, he did more than his fair share of the heavy lifting for that. And I wouldn't have gotten as deep into robotics if it hadn't been for him. went to Berkeley for electrical engineering, computer science, was a terrible, terrible student, but somehow managed to land an NSF grant, National Science Foundation grant, to build a robotic eel. So rally, we're gonna call it unagi, the Japanese word for
That's
very
awesome.
tasty.
Yeah, delicious barbecue
But
eel.
rallied a couple kids together, spun up the robotics lab that was long defunct, and put together a pretty cool prototype that we never finished because we all graduated, as kids are gonna do, at Cal. And
Yeah,
then
the student projects are interesting like that. I feel like there's so many things that are just half completed coming out of universities.
No, I mean, speaking of universities, like, it's super impressive what they're able to do now because these clubs aren't just formed like senior year, junior year. They have like long-standing legacies, like the Formula One team at UC Davis, I believe, or the Formula E team there is crazy good. They've been around forever. I love recruiting from them because they
Oh,
have tons of hands-on experience.
yeah, no, we donated some money to the Carnegie Mellon FSAE.
FSAE, that's what it's called.
Yeah, but like the electric one. But like they were showing me around their facility, and so Formula Society of Automotive Engineers, electrical, whatever, like electric vehicle. I don't know what they call it. I can't remember. But they had their previous car, like, that I could sit in and that they were showing me. And then they had their like next year's one that they were building. And then they had the year after that that was like being like designed. Like they had a whole process for like pushing these things through and
It's
iterating on the
crazy.
lessons they learned. Yeah, it was pretty neat. And they were somewhat different than each other. I mean, it wasn't like they were just making the same car. Like they were trying new stuff. I mean, they had like torque vectoring and like, I mean, I don't know if I'm allowed to
Jeez.
say that, but I just
That's
did. Yeah, it
impressive.
was neat.
No, I mean, like, even high school robotics now, like, compared to my second year of first robotics, where we're using like a PIC microcontroller or something like that, the stuff they're able to do. Like, I saw one with VIO, and I'm like, oh my God, I don't even know how to work VIO. And this high school kid is utilizing like SLAM or something for
What's
navigation.
VIO? I don't know that yet.
Visual inertial odometry.
Okay.
So you're using stereo images to navigate. I'm doing a poor
That's
job
considered
of,
inertial?
I believe it's inertial. VIO is what it
Yeah.
stands for. We can look it up real quick.
I
What
try
does
not to,
VIO
but
stand for?
I mean, I guess we could. Ah, whatever. I'm gonna. Can we ask Amica?
Sure, actually. Let's fire up. Okay.
Yeah. I think it'll be better because I don't like to like do too much search engineering on here because I feel like it takes you out of the conversation. And well, Amica will too. At least it's like relevant to the shtick.
Hey, Amica, what does VIO stand for?
VIO stands for visual inertial odometry, a method of sensing and navigation that uses visual sensors such as cameras and inertial measurements from an EMU to accurately determine the position and orientation of a robot.
I should start getting my inertial measurements from an emu.
I'd wanted to get into MIT. My grades were frankly not good enough in high school. So I missed, but as part of the admissions thing, I got far enough where I had an interview with alumnus of MIT. It was like that alumni interview. And I remember this old dude sitting me down in a park bench in like somewhere in Southern California, and him asking me like, okay, why do you want to go to MIT? And I had an answer like right there and then. I was like, dude, I want to build robots. Like, I think MIT can teach me what I need to build robots. And you know what he said to me? He turned around. I still remember this to this day. He was like, kid, there's no money in robotics. And like, just like that, you could see like my heart just break. It's like that scene in Simpsons, where I think it's like Ralph's heart breaking after Lisa tells him something, or I forgot, but there's a meme around that. And that was like me right there and then,
Brutal,
like little
dude.
17-year-old Leo, just like, oh shit. Like, oh no. And I find it funny because both you and I now, like, we make our money in robotics, right?
Yeah, we're doing fine.
So, I don't know if that dude's still alive. He's quite old back then, but I'm sure he meant well. This isn't a big
Yeah.
like, ah, screw you, MIT people. Not at all. Like
Pretentious
it's
assholes.
for not letting me in, bah, drop your standards.
I went to a boarding school that like didn't have enough IAP credits. I was trying to get into, I think, the Olin College of Engineering when I was going for colleges. I think I'd already given up on MIT by that point. I was like, I'm never getting in there, but I'll try Olin. And like, I didn't even have enough AP credits at the place I went to high school to even qualify.
Oh
Yeah,
no.
so I was like, all right, guess I'll go to Case Western instead.
Hey, but you went to Carnegie for grad school,
Yep.
and man, talk about heritage of robotics there. Holy crap. Like,
It's good for that. Like I always wanted to kind of finish out there and get my grad degree there. I thought I'd get a PhD when I was a kid, because when I was a kid, I didn't realize how finite life is and the fact that, you only have so many years on this planet and I don't want to spend five of them at a university. But
five is generous,
yeah.
Jesus. Like,
Or
so my
seven,
dad's a
yeah.
professor. Yeah, my dad's a professor at University of Missouri right now. He's like a mechanical engineering
It's a
professor,
good school.
and yeah, no, he seems to be having a blast. And he's telling me like not his students, but there's like some guy who's working on like year 9 of a PhD or something like
Holy
that there.
shit.
And like, I don't know, dude.
Yeah, that's, what is that? Like a fucking, it's like 16% of the guy's life. Like that he'll never get back. Like that's, that's, you don't get to take that back or extend it. So.
Well, I mean, I hope he's doing some awesome badass research, right? Like, I
Or like,
hope it's
having a good
delivering.
time while he's doing it. Yeah, for sure.
So Amica asked you earlier what the most ridiculous application to
And
robotics
I
you've seen
stand
is.
by Juicero as my answer.
Okay.
I think that's the silliest.
Juicero.
We could put
What's
up a
the
picture if you want. Carl, edit in a picture of Juicero.
Oh no, don't even edit the picture. Edit in the video of the guy replacing Juicero with his hands and just
Are you
squeezing
talking about
the
ABV? Like the
pouch.
video where he. Yeah, I really love that video.
Ah,
Where he like opens it with
so
the
good.
axe.
So like, I'm into humanoid robots,
Yeah.
and one of the things that I'm seeing that's kind of like raising an eyebrow for me is this like hype cycle around humanoid robots being general purpose robots.
Oh, interesting. Yeah,
Like,
that's an interesting one. I have opinions on this, but I try not to talk about it too much. It's like a little bit
it
controversial.
is controversial. You don't have to air your opinions. I'm happy to air mine.
Yeah, sure. Let's do that.
So here's the thing. Like, I feel like for the first time in a decade at least, software has eclipsed hardware in terms of the capability in robotics. Like, where large language models, AI, VIO, VSLAM, all this awesome software stuff has grown, has eclipsed the capabilities of hardware in some ways. And I feel like a lot of this hype is actually around the fact that software is close to building something that could be used in general purpose robotics. Like, they've trained models that look pretty darn good. And there's this thought of like, oh, well, let's just stick it into something that looks like this and put it in a home. It'll be great. But I mean, I feel like software is there, but I also feel like if you're building a general purpose robot right now, you don't need to go with the human form at all. Like,
Well, it's there,
that's
but
my
I mean,
sticking point.
there are some shortcomings though in GPT, right? I mean, like,
Oh yeah, no,
there's
100%.
like that awkward lag. I mean,
Oh.
there's the, the word salad aspect you sometimes get. It's
I
impressive as
mean,
hell.
Amica will hallucinate too, right? Like, I was doing
I mean,
practice
we
runs
all
before
hallucinate
this.
from time to time.
Amica dreams of more than an electric
Electric
sheep,
sheep.
right?
Yeah.
But no, like software is definitely getting there, but then I don't get the push to all of a sudden be like, oh, let's build a robot that looks like a human. Let's put it this way. If I were like, hey, Spencer, I work in a factory and I need you to build me a pick and place robot that works next to a human, what would you do?
I mean, it depends what I was picking and placing, right? Like, I mean, I'd try to build something specialized probably to solve the
Let's
problem.
say we'll simplify the problem. Boxes, cardboard boxes of a defined shape and size.
I mean, you can do that with a UR or a FANUC arm, like pretty easily, right? I mean, or and when I say FANUC, I mean FANUC UR KUKA, or sorry, not UR, FANUC KUKA Yaskawa, any of the high precision, old hats, like they can all do that.
And you could even, if you wanted to use the hot buzzword of the day, you could probably integrate some sort of vision, machine learning into it or whatnot, right? There's tons of potential there.
Sure. I mean, to
And
be fair, like a lot of those old hat robot arm companies don't play well with machine vision, but
sure, not yet, but I mean, I'm hearing murmurings that they're working on it because, hey,
they
why
gotta
not, right?
survive. Yeah.
But yeah, no, like that's the answer I would give as well. I would design something specialized. It's like if you asked me to build you a machine that washes dishes, I wouldn't immediately go towards the humanoid form.
You'd think
Yet,
of a
what I'm
dishwasher.
seeing. Exactly.
Yeah.
So why go humanoid form? You want something that's adaptable, that can do multiple different tasks? Sure. But then once again, if you're doing multiple different tasks, why the humanoid form?
So
That's a
here's where it
question I
gets
keep on mind.
interesting to me. So, I mean, why the humanoid form is interesting. So, like, maybe taking a step back from humanoid, but in the direction of general purpose robots, right? Because that's. A dishwasher is not going to wash your car, right? So, like, let's for a moment suspend belief and say, or suspend disbelief and say that the humanoid form is one type of general purpose robot. There's other ones too. You could have, like a little mobile base with four wheels and an arm on it, for instance. But
What Proxy or Everyday Robotics is trying to do at Google X. 100%.
yeah, but. Where I think a general purpose robot might make more sense is like in a scenario where you've got expensive like shipping to an area that's not accessible by people, we'll say. So like space travel, is where that seems like a good idea. Like if you can only bring one robot to Mars, like maybe you want it to be a general purpose robot.
Oh, 100%. But to me, then it still doesn't make sense. Like, why are you restricting yourself? Because, like, telling your engineers that it has to fit within a certain format makes it so much more difficult, right? So, I guess for me, there's a little bit of confusion there of like, okay, I get it. Software is becoming awesome. But why are you guys restricting yourself to this format that really there's no need to? Like, there's this argument of, oh, well, we designed it to work next to humans. Sure. Like, I get that. But at the same time, that just means you need to focus on two things, safety and communication, right? You need a human working besides this robot to understand what it's doing so you can cohabitate the same place and like work hand in hand. And it needs to be safe enough that if something goes wrong, this human isn't going to get injured or killed or maimed or whatever, like OSHA
Yeah.
style. Right now, the
Well,
power
there's a bunch of
density,
ways to do that.
but let's say you're building a robot that looks like a human being. Right now, the power density equations just simply don't make sense for something that's going to grab something, pick something up, place it, or like manipulate certain things, or even be able to self-locomote and still be safe around another human being.
Yeah.
It's going to be so heavy that like you don't want to be next to it.
Yeah, that
But
makes sense.
hey.
Well, from a power density perspective, too, I can see your point. I mean, those things burn power.
Oh
What, you've
yeah.
got like 30 degrees of freedom. You gotta feed.
Yeah.
I mean, no
And like
offense, Amica.
no, Amica, she it's got a belly there for a good reason, but Amica is also plugged into a wall socket and has a luxury of not having to be battery powered, So if you have a robot in a factory situation where it's walking
How
around
much current
doing
is it
tasks,
drawing?
we have 200-300 watt power supplies that are never maxed out, so 600 watts total. I'd say, I don't know, rough estimate. Excuse me.
No
It's
problem.
fire season right now, so it's actually smoke outside that you see
Brutal.
in the camera. But let's see, 12 volts. I'd say total probably right now in operation, less than 200 watts total. is being drawn 200 to 300 watts.
That's pretty low. But like Emek is probably not balancing dynamically, I would imagine.
No, definitely not.
Because that's a
like
power
it's not
hog.
Dynamic.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. What Boston Dynamics is doing, what Agility Robotics is doing, like those guys are amazing.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Big fan of Aptronik as well. Like it's cool stuff.
I haven't seen Aptronik up
they're,
close.
They're out of Texas. I toured their facility recently in Austin.
Nice.
Yeah, they've got some really cool equipment in there. It's pretty neat.
Are they dynamically locomoting, or are they doing the shuffle walk? That
they've got a bunch of stuff. So they've got exoskeletons and humanoids. Okay. I believe they are. Yeah.
Okay. Sick. No, that's awesome. Yeah, like if you ever have a chance to interact with Agility Robotics guys, like. Oh my God.
I toured their facility here in Pittsburgh recently.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so jealous. That's cool.
My friend Prost Velagapudi just got made, I think, their VP of innovation. So
what? Yeah. I'm so jealous. Like, if I had to put, you know, my top two robotics companies right now, other than Engineered Arts, like robotics companies that aren't in entertainment, Boston Dynamics, what they're doing with dynamic motion is absolutely world class. Yeah, I get it. You know, Atlas and Big Dog are kind of just there for marketing, and Spot or their little four-legged robot is basically what they're selling, but I still love what they're
doing. I think they broke 1,000, right, on the sales of Spot, which is
heck yeah.
Yeah. For a robot, I mean that's a large number, you know, like we're a fledgling industry.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty neat to see.
For sure.
And they're actually pretty friendly people too. Like from talking to some of the guys over there, you know, they're more approachable than you would think.